Bible Study Fellowship, Revelation, The Hope, Lesson 16, The Woman and the Dragon. Focus Verse, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Satan's cosmic war against God makes every believer's daily life a spiritual battleground. All humans are born as sinners, naturally allied with God's vicious enemy. When God graciously redeems his children from Satan's control, they immediately become the enemy's target. Satan, a prowling spiritual terrorist, rules the ungodly world system we live in with violence and deception. God's allies become Satan's enemies. Satan's limited power cannot threaten God's ultimate authority. In fact, God has already won the war against Satan. Christ defeated death for all who put their faith in him. Therefore, Satan cannot triumph over God's unstoppable power and purposes, even when he murders God's people. Though Satan rules this world in many ways and opposes God and all who follow Christ, he will not prevail. The enemy attacks believers with temptation, trouble, and even death, but God's people resist Satan in God's strength, not their own. God delivers his people from Satan's destructive grip. God reigns supreme. Division 1. The Woman, Child, and Dragon. Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. Revelation unfolds three sets of cascading judgments: the seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls. These judgments may describe a sequence of events, or perhaps they present a repetitive description of the same events in a series of parallel, recapitulating scenes. Either way, the seven seals and seven trumpets bring us close to history's end, when God's enemies will meet their final defeat. Following the seventh trumpet's blast, a pause allows a closer look at evil's last assault on God's people. Many scholars see chapters 12 through 14 as the center of John's revelation. The seemingly abrupt start to chapter 12 introduces the coming war involving earth and heaven. The full fury of Satan and the forces of evil will rage against believers. Satan violently attacks, but God promises his strong protection for his people. The Woman, chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. John's vision opens with drama, centered on three characters: a woman clothed with the sun, her son, and an enormous red dragon. The central theme of the story is the dragon's pursuit of the woman. John refers to both the woman and the dragon as great signs. In the Bible, signs point to something significant. For example, in his gospel, John used the word sign to describe a miraculous event or object. These signs in Revelation transcend the ordinary realm of time and place, as they point to a struggle going on behind the scenes in history. Who is this woman, clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head? John presents her in glorious fashion. We know Jesus' face shone like the sun, so it seems as though the woman beautifully reflects her Lord. The moon under her feet perhaps signifies her permanence. The woman is crying out in pain and about to give birth. The prophet Micah described the nation of Israel as writhing in labor before God brought redemption. The first impression of many is that this scene with the woman describes Jesus' birth, an event of cosmic significance. The woman's identity is difficult to pinpoint. She appears to communicate a symbolic significance beyond a single individual. Many identify her with the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. Others suggest she represents the church, or more broadly, God's people. If this sign points to the essential unity of God's people in both testaments across all time, then the woman symbolizes both true believing Israel, who bore the Messiah, and the church across the ages, giving birth to many people of God. John's vision later refers to her offspring. The woman wears a crown of 12 stars, which may point to the 12 tribes of Israel. In a dream, Joseph saw Jacob's sons pictured as stars. The 12 stars also might represent both the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles of Jesus. The crown on the woman's head points to her elect status, for Jesus promises a crown of life to the one who conquers. The dragon, chapter 12, verses 3 through 4. The next sign John saw is terrifying. Standing before the woman is an enormous red dragon, with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. John's imaginative and metaphorical language clearly indicates a scene difficult to depict in normal words. The dragon is red, probably representing the color of blood and warfare. His 7 heads perhaps indicate that he personified evil to the maximum degree. He is wicked in every way. He wears crowns because he poses as king, a blasphemous counterfeit of Jesus, the King of Kings. The dragon's tail sweeps a third of the stars from the sky and flings them to the earth, revealing the dragon's destructive might. Some Bible scholars suggest the stars may be angels who fell from heaven along with Satan. Dragons appear in many cultures as images of awesome power. Literature from various nations incorporates dragons, which do not always symbolize evil. Sometimes they relate to royalty, but in Old Testament poetry and prophecy, dragon-like beasts represent Israel's enemies. The identity of this dragon is made clear in verse 9. He is that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. Scripture describes the depth of evil this dragon encompasses. The term devil means slanderer or accuser. The name Satan means enemy or adversary. This dragon is that ancient serpent who appeared in the Garden of Eden to tempt Adam and Eve, the one God cursed with ongoing enmity with humankind. Jesus himself not only spoke of Satan, but encountered and overcame him. Scripture records Satan's attempts to undermine and defeat God's purpose and plan for salvation. Jesus' disciple Peter said the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Satan had previously demanded to sift Peter like wheat. Satan led Adam and Eve into thinking they could be like God by disobeying him. Their disobedience led the entire human race into corruption and sin's downward spiral. However, there is good news. God is stronger than Satan. His deceit and evil pursuits cannot and will not derail God's purposes and provision for his people. John saw a fearful picture of Satan's vicious desire to destroy God's people and his son. This evil dragon stands before the woman, awaiting the birth of her baby and seeking to devour him. The dramatic scene reflects events surrounding Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. King Herod committed mass infanticide in his attempt to kill God's son, the Messiah. Herod served not only his own interests, but those of Revelation's vicious dragon. The Woman and Her Son, chapter 12, verses 5 through 6. John refers to Psalm 2, verse 9, as he identifies the woman's son as the one who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. This baby is Jesus, who will reign as Messiah, the Christ. The dragon does not devour him. John watched as the baby was snatched up to God and to his throne. The vision moves immediately from the Messiah's birth to his escape from Satan's attack and his victory achieved through his resurrection and ascension. John emphasizes the dragon's inability to defeat God's purpose in his son. The dragon also fails to harm the woman. After her delivery, she flees into the wilderness to a place prepared by God to receive care for 1,260 days. With her child secure on God's throne, the woman finds shelter in God, who powerfully rescued both of them by his infinite power. For 1,260 days, God provides care for the woman in the wilderness, the same duration the two witnesses prophesied. This protection of the woman may also indicate God's care for believers in the last days. Although interpretations differ regarding the setting and timing of the woman's protection, we know John witnessed God powerfully rescue the people committed to his purpose. Christians are not promised life without suffering, but will experience the refuge of God's certain provision and care. The adversary of God and his people, the doctrine of Satan and demons. The book of Revelation dramatically portrays Satan and his demon armies, who fight against God and attempt to terrorize his people. Though eternally defeated by Christ's victory on the cross, Satan will continue to spew his venomous hatred until the day God banishes him forever. Now loose on earth, Satan is a terrible enemy whose power and influence are nevertheless limited by God. Since he is neither omnipotent, nor omniscient, nor omnipresent, Satan's destructive power is no match for God's power. Ultimately, God will prevail over hell's fury and the enemy of his people. Because Satan works as an unseen spirit, many do not acknowledge his presence or existence. Nonetheless, Scripture reveals otherwise. Satan led a large angelic revolt against God and was cast out of heaven. Now Satan and his demonic forces operate as a real force in this world, continuing to perpetuate rebellion against God. Satan utilizes lies, murder, hatred, and evil to try to defeat God and his people, which will not happen. Satan should not be dismissed as a comical character or mythical legend. Recognizing the spiritual war waged between God and Satan, good and evil, as well as God's people and Satan's allies, helps us understand the rampant evil we observe in this world. However, Satan should not be viewed as an insurmountable foe. God has the power to rescue anyone from Satan's grip. Jesus did that for all who trust in him for salvation. Believers should acknowledge Satan's attacks and his influence on the world, but focus on God and his power. Though Satan remains an adversary for now, God promises his overcoming power to his children. Satan can buffet believers through temptation, trials, and struggles, but cannot bring ultimate defeat. God's children rest eternally safe within his eternal care. As 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Satan fights a brutal battle, but God wins the war. Division 2, The War in Heaven, Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 12. A great battle commences, chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. A great war breaks out in heaven, seemingly in response to the woman's rescue. The dragon turns his fury on Michael, one of God's most honored and powerful angels. A heavenly messenger speaking to the prophet Daniel referred to Michael as one of the chief princes. In his New Testament epistle, Jude called Michael an archangel and revealed he disputed with the devil over Moses' body. The dragon leads an evil, supernatural army, arrogant enough to do battle with the forces of God. John wrote, "Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. The devil's militia is not strong enough, and he is hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Cast from heaven, Satan is given a period of freedom on earth." The banishment of Satan. Different interpretations exist regarding the timing of Satan's fall from heaven. Jesus told his disciples that he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning, clearly indicating that at some point, God banished Satan from his holy presence. Old Testament prophecies against evil earthly kings may also depict Satan's demise. Whenever Satan was expelled from heaven, we know he retained power on earth. However, even here his time is short, according to Revelation 12:12. Satan, the god of this age, remains powerless in the heavenly realms. The Statement from Heaven, chapter 12, verses 10 through 12. A hymn of praise follows heaven's stunning victory in battle. Strategically positioned hymns in the book of Revelation help us understand the narrative material. Without this interpretive hymn, we might not relate the dragon's defeat to Jesus Christ and his atoning work on behalf of humanity. However, this hymn clearly credits Christ's death on the cross as the real reason behind the devil's defeat. The voice in heaven announces God's salvation, power, kingdom, and the Messiah's authority. God moves all history toward the exaltation of his Son. Satan not only fights against God, but also fiercely opposes God's people. He tempts men, women, and children to sin. He accuses and slanders them before God, day and night, never stopping. Satan steals, kills, and destroys as he tries to hinder God's work and his people. Though Satan is a fearful enemy, God's forgiven people experience great triumph through Christ. The victory of the Lamb comes through his death and resurrection, as well as from the testimonies of those who gave their lives for the sake of the gospel. Jesus' death ended sin's stranglehold and Satan's dominance over those who believe in Jesus Christ. Now believers experience forgiveness that allows them to be reconciled with God forever. This hymn rings with a sense of relief and joy. God demonstrated his unconquerable authority as he defeated the devil and protected his people. The loud voice in heaven calls for rejoicing because of the dragon's defeat. However, the voice also warns of Satan's violent presence and fury on earth. Because Satan knows his time is short, he works ferociously to fling his destruction and damage as widely as possible. Be warned about Satan's power, but allow the triumph of the Lamb to hold you steady. The battle is the Lord's, and he wins. Division 3, The Wrath on Earth, Revelation chapter 12, verses 13 through 17. Satan's Pursuit, chapter 12, verses 13 through 14. Having suffered humiliating defeat in heaven, the dragon makes earth the stage for his hateful fury against God and his people. He pursues the woman, who receives amazing help as she flees to God's place of security. The wings of a great eagle are given to the woman, so she can fly and escape to the wilderness. She would receive care for a time, times, and half a time. Theologians say this likely refers to 3.5 years. Perhaps this marks the final yet future days of unparalleled persecution on earth. God's protection of the woman speaks to his protection of his people. Though God's children will not always be spared from physical pain and harm, God will sustain and preserve them eternally. In answer to Jesus' priestly prayer for his own followers before he died, God will miraculously deliver his people from the clutches of the evil one in the final day. God's Help, chapter 12, verses 15 through 17. Like everything else in existence, Satan operates under God's control. Satan wields great power, but God limits his authority. Satan is not God's counterpart. He does not share God's attributes. He is a spiritual being, but cannot be everywhere at once. Though Satan brandishes such influence in the world that he seems to be everywhere, he does not transcend time and space as God does. He rules over many other spiritual beings who carry out his will, just as they fought and fell with him when he battled Michael's forces in heaven. He can suggest doubts, temptations, and selfish motivations to God's people. With cunning intelligence, he can predict human thinking and behavior, but there is no evidence he knows human thoughts like God does. In extreme anger against the woman, Satan spews a flood of water from his mouth to engulf and drown her. Some aspects of this imagery remind us of the Israelites' exodus from Egypt and their confrontation with the Red Sea. God dried up the sea, allowing Israel to pass through on dry ground. Moses and the Israelites celebrated their rescue with a song to the Lord. In Revelation chapter 12, the desert soil absorbs the flash flood as the earth opens its mouth and swallows the river that flowed from the dragon's mouth. Enraged, the dragon presses forward, engaging his final assault on the woman's offspring. Satan wages war against all those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. When Satan tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the first man and woman gave in, and sin entered the world. God judged the serpent and then gave a great prophecy and promise. He said there would be enmity or hostility between the offspring of the serpent and the offspring of the woman. The promised offspring of the woman is the Lord Jesus Christ, born to the Virgin Mary. Jesus crushed the serpent when he died on the cross to atone for his people's sin. In so doing, he provided for new offspring, men, women, and children who receive forgiveness from sin and new life because of his life, death, and resurrection. The enmity between the serpent's offspring and the woman's offspring began in the Garden of Eden and will continue until Jesus returns. Those who belong to God overcome the great dragon with his evil hatred and insidious corruption. God delivers his people from Satan's destructive grip. Believers prevail over Satan by faith in Jesus' victory over sin and death. Energized by his power, God's children can live with courageous obedience and a testimony of God's grace and triumph. Take to heart, hold fast. John's vision helps us understand the battle between good and evil that we observe on earth. The symbolism of a glorious woman, her child, and a frightening red dragon tells a cosmic story that helps explain the current situation in this world. John's vision also foretells future events that promise the unleashed fury of evil and God's uncompromised victory. Satan desperately seeks to oppose God, destroy his son, thwart his purposes, and harm his followers. As God's avowed enemy, Satan's fury began in heaven when he opposed God and his heavenly forces and was cast to earth. Unsuccessful in the heavenly battle, Satan aimed his wrath at the woman and her child, the Messiah. Despite the enemy's murderous ploys, Christ defeated Satan when he died on the cross and returned to heaven. The terrible reality of Satan's warpath of evil makes the dramatic intervention of the sinless Lamb utterly inevitable. A furious and already defeated foe, Satan realizes his time to oppose God is limited. He prowls furiously on earth and spews his wrath against believers, those who trust in Christ. Though Satan and his forces can bring pain and suffering into the lives of God's children, those who believe in Christ cannot be eternally thwarted by Satan's malice. Suffering saints hand Satan yet another defeat as they persevere, often at great cost, in Christ's power. Jesus the Messiah will one day rule the world with an iron scepter. He will vanquish all evil, including Satan himself, and vindicate his righteousness. His promised victory is not yet fully evident, but it is certain. Apply it. The spiritual battle behind the scenes of human history and in our world and lives today can be simultaneously obvious and challenging to grasp. Evidence of sin's grip on humanity and Satan's war against God is all around us, but the enemy's strategies range from subtle to stark. How have you experienced Satan's attacks and temptations? What enables you to stand strong against the forces of evil and such a powerful enemy? The reality of Satan's toxic web in this world should drive us to the only source of hope and triumph. Jesus has conquered Satan, your worst and strongest enemy. God and His purposes are unstoppable. Christ's victory directly caused Satan's defeat. How deeply do we realize the centrality of Christ's sacrifice as the key to every aspect of our spiritual victory? Each spiritual benefit a believer experiences has its root in Jesus Christ's sacrificial death and victorious resurrection. We experience peace because Christ triumphed. We overcome sin because He broke sin's power over us. We can confidently face our trials and the future because the most important battle has already been won. Perhaps we grasp, in some measure, the significance of Christ's cross when we receive Him as our Savior. However, the richness and multiple facets of Christ's sacrifice grow more evident as we walk with Him. How often do you ponder the depths of suffering and heights of victory connected to Jesus' triumph? John's vision describes believers who loved the Lord more than their lives on earth. How can we remain strong when Satan's fury brings terror, suffering, and death? What enables God's people to keep His commands and hold fast to their testimony about Jesus? A casual, superficial commitment to Christ does not threaten Satan. Does your testimony for Christ invite the enemy's fury? How willing are you to stand for Christ when doing so invites opposition? Jesus and the gospel matter more than human comfort and an easy life. God's children do not win spiritual battles in human strength. God supplies what obeying Him requires. Believers need not shrink back, because God's grace, mercy, provision, and protection go with us everywhere He leads us. How does your willingness to trust God impact your boldness to witness for Him? Paul wrote, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This concludes this week's lesson. Thanks for listening, and we will join you again next week.